Our Bible reading is from Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. I'm going to read through the verse twice. The Bible reads, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let us pray. Oh, most gracious and loving Father, we pray for Jemmy and thank you for anointing him to bring to us the gospel, which our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, brought from heaven and sealed with his blood. We pray that you will be pleased to reveal yourself to us this morning and work in us that which you require. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Good morning, everyone. It is so weird to be speaking to you on live stream, but thank you for being with us. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. So we're continuing, like Becca said, we're continuing our joyful living series. So we've been looking at spiritual disciplines that help us to have this life that Jesus wants us to have. And the verse that comes to my mind immediately when I think about this whole series is John 10:10, when Jesus says, "I've come that they may have life and life to the full." And that's what we're going to continue looking at today, is how we can have that life that Jesus wants us, that life to the full. And so today we're going to be looking at just one verse, but one verse that sums up a massive principle that runs throughout the Bible. So thank you, Davis, for reading that for us this morning. So we're going to be looking at generosity, as we've seen. And it's a topic that's really exciting for me, because it's something that God's been teaching me a lot about recently. But also, if we can get this and start living it out, it has massive implications for the increase in our joy, but also it would have a radical effect on our lives and the lives of those around us. Because, you know, when people are radically generous, it has a strange effect on us. I don't know if you've ever experienced or heard a story like this. So Michaela and I were at a theological training that the church sent us on maybe last year or so. And one of the guys stood up and he was doing a talk on generosity. And he stood up and he started saying that him and his wife, they're a pastor, a couple that lead a church in America. And they were saying that they'd felt God telling them that they needed to be better at being generous, because they felt it was something that they weren't very good at, and also it was something their church wasn't very good at. And so they decided that they were going to step out and ask God to help them increase their faith in giving. And it started with them increasing their offering at church, and so they would give kind of a little bit extra and help ask God to help them trust that what they'd given, he would bless and would use. And then it moved on to them asking God, and he would tell them to give small sums of money to friends who were needy. So they might be that their car's broken down, they just need a little bit of extra money to get it fixed, or they wanted to pay for a couple to have a meal out or something. And it kind of progressed a little bit. And it progressed a bit more when they were shocked by God telling them that they needed to pay for a holiday, for a family that they knew wouldn't be able to afford the holiday. And so they paid for this holiday and saw God increase their joy in the joy of the family. And then it moved another step. And God asked them to give away a car. And so they gave away their car to a family who needed it more than them. And eventually they were saying that God increased their faith to the point that they heard him say, "I want you to give away your house to this family." And they were able to willingly give away their house. And I don't know about you, but when I heard that, I thought that they seemed absolutely insane. They appeared irresponsible. But equally, there's something about them that was just so exciting that made me want to gravitate towards them and want to be like that too. And I think it's because they're not bound by their money or possessions or their resources in the same way that I feel I can be. They're not held back by finances. You know, they're generous on a new level. That what I would say is radically generous. And I was reading a book recently that Chris and Lucy Wallace gave me. And in it, a YWAM missionary called Earl Pitts talks about generosity. And he describes it in this unique way. It's going to appear on the screen for us now. He says, "The kingdom of God's system of finances is giving and receiving. The world's system is buying and selling." I'll read that again because I'm going to come back to this quite a bit. "It's the kingdom of God's system of finances is giving and receiving. The world's system is buying and selling." And I think this quote perfectly sums up what Jesus is getting at in our passage. And that's that generosity is about more than just giving. It's about changing the way we think about and manage our resources and our finances generally. So with that in mind, let's dive straight into my first of 2 points, which is God gives, we give. Nice and simple. So what does Jesus actually say in the first half of this verse? I kind of split them into two so we can see what he says. And in the first half, he says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. And I think the first thing that immediately jumped off the page for me when I read this is that it's a command with a promise, rather than a suggestion with a potentially positive outcome, right? Jesus says, he doesn't say, if you give, or if you have loads of money, give. He simply says, give. Whatever your situation, whatever you have. You know, like in the story of the widow that we saw perfectly acted out for us earlier. I loved that video. Jesus wasn't impressed with the amount. It was something else that pleased him, right? And I think with this command to give, Jesus is going deeper. You know, as usual with Jesus, he's going below the surface. He's getting at the heart attitude. And in the account in Mark, the rich people poured in loads of money kind of quite dramatically. And the widow gave just a tiny amount, a couple of coins, that in monetary terms was not worth very much, a few pence. But the difference was that the rich people gave out of their wealth. And she, the widow, gave everything she had. You know, I think we kind of see and experience a similar phenomenon at the moment. I don't know about you, but I've seen on social media, people are starting to question the idea of billionaires and whether it's a just thing to have in a society like ours. And then also I've seen kind of, we've got Jeff Bezos here. Also I've seen that in America, there's been quite a lot of billionaires kind of donating like $1 million to like Corona relief funds in their area. And on the surface of it, it looks incredibly generous, right? I don't have $1 million. And so $1 million for me is a lot of money. So it's incredibly generous. But then when you dig into it, I'd seen that someone has dug into one particular billionaire's giving. And it turns out that the amount she gave didn't actually amount to even 1 minute's worth of her daily earnings. So when you strip it back, it's not actually as generous as it seems, like in the story of the widow. But the widow in our story understood something that God has been teaching his people for millennia, since the start, basically. And that's that he is the one that provides everything for you. But the more we kind of dig into this idea that God is the one that provides everything with our lens of buying and selling, you know, from that quote earlier, we were looking at how the world's lens, the one that we're kind of trapped in, is that we earn and then we spend. So if we think about this, that God provides everything in this sense, with this lens on, we kind of start to freak out and we want to push back and want to fight back, because God is telling us that behind it all, he is the one who gives you the money to live on. He's the one who gives you life and breath. He's the one who gives you and your family a safe place to sleep. He's the one who gives you those grades, that car, that house, whatever it is. And it doesn't mean that we don't work for those things. It's that ultimately God is in control, right? He is the provider. And so this notion of buying and selling that we get kind of conditioned into and trapped into is the idea that we get and then exchange things of equal value. So we earn wages or resources and then exchange them in a measured transaction for something that has equal value. So then something becomes ours. So we kind of, we earn and then we spend. But God tells us that that's not actually the reality. We're kind of living in this warped idea that we've made for ourselves. That's not the reality. In reality, he is the one who gives it all. His system of finances, the true system of finances, is giving and receiving. God gives and we receive. And right now you might go, wait, you're telling me that it wasn't the money that I earned that bought the house that I live in or the car that I have. And that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we need to think behind it. So who gave you the health and the strength to be at work? Who gave you the intelligence to do the job that you do? Who made it that you were even born in a position where you were able to get where you are now? God did, right? So he's the provider. And basically, if we follow this to its conclusion, the implication is that we don't own anything. We actually just borrow it from God. Our finances, our possessions, our families, our time. They're all gifts from God that we get for a short while. But they're not ours to keep. And at this point, you might be thinking, okay, so I'm with you, Jamie. God gives me everything I have. But it's a bit of a jump for Jesus to expect me to have the same attitude as the widow, right? To give everything away. Surely that's too far. But again, if we take a step back and realize who it is that's saying this, Jesus, the one who in our reading is the one speaking and the one commanding us, is the one who's given you and me absolutely everything he has, right? And he's not expecting anything from you or from me that he hasn't already given himself. You know, he willingly stepped out of the presence of the Father, became a man, was beaten and spat on and killed so that we could taste a little bit of what he was experiencing before, you know, with the Father in that presence of joy. And so if anyone is able or has the right to ask me of anything, surely it's Jesus, right? But you know, the craziest thing I think about this passage is that Jesus doesn't just command us to give. He gives us a promise that when we give, we will receive back a blessing of greater measure. So in the passage we have, he uses some kind of weird imagery, which at first kind of doesn't really mean anything to us as 21st century hearers. So he says, you know, a good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. And so for us, we're like, okay, cool. But for the people who heard it at the start, it's actually a common thing that they would have used to describe how you pack grain or wheat into a container. And so if you wanted to give the most honest amount, you would kind of shake it down, you would press it, you would have a large amount. And then if you wanted to be really obvious that you were being generous, it would kind of sit like just kind of bulging at the top. So Jesus is saying that he's gonna do that for us with the reward he gives us. But not just that, his reward is going to be overflowing. It's going to be pouring out. And you know, it immediately makes me think of David's favorite illustration. If you've been at Holland Road for kind of any amount of time, you will have seen David do this. And it's where he has a big jug of water and a cup. And he kind of pours the jug into the cup, and the cup overflows and pours on the carpet, and it creates kind of a scene. But the point remains the same, right? That God's generosity, God's love for us is so much more than what we have. And it overflows when we accept it. You know, you can't outgive God. His generosity overflows. But it's so important right now. I have to take a quick aside to say that what I'm not saying here is that if you give away all your money, you're going to receive loads of money back. I'm strictly not preaching a prosperity gospel. You know, giving is costly, and it often will involve hardship and struggle and difficulty. But that's exactly what Jesus promised us, right? But here, Jesus is saying that even through these hardships that we may experience as a result of being generous, he is promising to be more generous, to be radically generous. You know, when I say radically generous, it's more than generous. It's this lifestyle of seeking to bless people in this way that Jesus was talking about, you know? A good measure that's pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And it's a lifestyle. It's not just a one-time thing. So now, if we get all this, we come to this point that if God gives me everything and promises that when I give what he asked me to give, he will give me back a greater reward, I have no right to withhold anything, right? If he asks me to give it away, I've got to give it away. And so I open with a bold statement that this will bring us more joy. So the question is, how does this giving in this kind of radically generous way, how does it bring me more joy? So before we get to that, we have to quickly and briefly look at how we can turn giving and generosity into something that will do exactly the opposite. And so this leads me on to my second point, and that is religious giving is a trap. See, I've got my Admiral Akbar there. That's a Star Wars quote for anyone who feels like they know that, those fans out there. So, in the first part of the Quran, Jesus is reminding us, you know, that he's the one who gives us everything anyway, and promised that when we give what he's given, he'll reward us. And then he moves on to this warning, where he says, "For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And Jesus is warning us here that it's so easy to fall into the trap of religious giving. The trap of religious giving. You know, like in the story of the widow that we saw acted out again earlier, Jesus isn't interested in the amount we give. It's the heart attitude behind the giving. You know, for example, two people could give exactly the same amount in a church offering one time. And one of them gives because they want to give. You know, they recognize that God's given them so much, and they want to show God that even with everything that he's given them, they want to trust him with what he's asked them to give away, and they happily give it away. But the other person has given because they feel like they have to, or because they feel that if they give, God will somehow love them more. Like, you know, like the rich people in the story of the widow that we saw earlier. So let's not fall into this trap. You know, nothing can earn us God's love except Jesus' sacrifice. So don't believe anyone who tells you that. Don't believe anything otherwise. But equally, God doesn't need our money. You know, as if, like, if we don't give, he won't be able to do what he wants to do in our community or our city or our church. God wants us to be generous with our money because it allows us to deepen our faith in his provision for us, not because he's desperate for your money. God's concern is always and always will be for us. You know, he calls us to give so that we won't become enslaved by money, because money can so quickly and so easily become a master that controls us. And God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to have a life and life to the full. You know, like what Jesus says in John 10:10, he wants us to have life and life to the full. So the warning is actually quite scary, because Jesus said, for the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And he's actually saying, you know, if you're giving with the wrong motivations, not out of this place of generosity, don't expect to receive generosity from God. It's pretty stark. It's pretty scary. So let's not be robbed of the true joy that God can bring through generosity by giving out of obligation. Because, you know, true generosity is found when we learn to step out of this worldly view of finances, you know, of buying and selling, of earning and spending, and step into God's view of finances, which is giving and receiving. So we receive from God and steward what he gives us, and then aren't bound by it. Because, you know, selfishness with time, finances, possessions will never bring us true joy. It's not what it was designed for. But learning to trust God and being set free from the hold of money or the fear of not having enough time is what ultimately brings joy. You know, at the start, I said there was this kind of side effect of radical generosity. So as well as it bringing us joy, it has an effect on the people around us. So a recent example from my own life is that Michaela and I were blessed by a church with a kind of a significant amount of money, along with a note that said that they were for us and what God was calling us to do. And it just so happened that was right before the recent gift day. And as a direct result of their obedience and their faith in trusting God, it inspired us to be able to give what God had told us to give. We were able to step that a little bit further, because we knew that if God had promised to provide for them, he'd also promised to provide for us. So we experienced radical generosity, and it then inspired and released us to also to seek to be radically generous. You know, this idea of the good measure, pressed down, shaken together and overflowing, that kind of lifestyle. But unfortunately, generosity isn't something that we naturally get good at immediately. It's not something I'm very good at. It's a spiritual discipline, right? We need to work at it bit by bit, you know, little by little, like the couple in the story at the start. It's something that we ask God for the faith to do, and he gives us just enough faith to, you know, to take that next step. And maybe that next step for you is giving regularly to church and trusting that God will provide for you so that you're able to give what he's asked you to give. Or maybe it's blessing some friends with a gift or some time, or doing their gardening, you know, something special for them. I know my brother and sister-in-law, who've just had their first baby, were really blessed by a neighbor who'd weeded their garden for them. So imagine how different our community and our city would look if radical generosity was a normal part of our lives, if we were seeking to do this. And so my challenge for us this week, you know, we've been having this challenge each week throughout this series. My challenge is, let's be radically generous this week. Let's try and give something away each day, either out of your finances or your time. And let's ask God to show us what he wants us to give away. And then watch as he kind of increases our joy and enables us to do it. But as I come to an end, I just wanted to have a point here saying that in talking about money, I'm not trying to be flippant. I'm not trying to be flippant. I know that for a lot of us, money is tight right now, and things are likely to get harder as we're officially in another recession. I just wanted to remind us that God's principle for generosity is not confined by our finances or the country's recession. You know, if God tells you to give, give. Don't be held back by the lie that it's your money or possessions that will keep you safe. You know, let's choose to rely on God first. Let's let go of this worldly view of finances. God wants to bless us, so let's not miss out on the joy because of fear. And again, this is not something that I'm trying to preach to anyone. This is something that I'm having to learn for myself, and it's painful, and it's slow, and it's difficult. I'm learning to let go of my reliance on finances. But Michaela and I believe that God is calling us into a life of serving the church where we won't earn a salary, where we will have to trust him with everything and to provide for everything. And it's scary, but it's also exciting. You know, look at Jesus. He lived out this principle of radical generosity. And it was costly. It was hard. He had to endure suffering. And you know, he promises that we will as his, we will too as his followers. You know, we're called to this life of sacrifice rather than comfort. But the reward far outweighs the sacrifice. You know, scripture tells us that it was for the joy set before him that Jesus endured the suffering, the hardship, the loss, so that we might be called sons and daughters and brought back into this place of being with God and spending eternity with him. And so that was Jesus' prize. We were Jesus' prize. But for us, the reward is getting to spend eternity with him, right? So let's not set our eyes on earthly prizes. Let's not be caught up in this prosperity gospel. You know, our reward is so much higher. Earthly things fade. Let's set our eyes on the eternal prize that's waiting for us. That finishing the race, you know, that ultimate joy, hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That is our prize. So let me just pray for us now, you know, that God would teach us to depend on him and not our resources, and that he would teach us to be radically generous in the same way that he is, so that we might have an increase in joy and live life to the full as Jesus intended. So let me just pray for us now. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you're so generous to us in giving us your word, in giving us everything, Lord. I pray you'd help us to realize how much you've given us, even this morning, Lord, that you would help us to understand a little bit more about how much you love us, how much you care for us, and what you've given for us. And Lord, I pray you would just release us from this kind of hold of the worldly finances, the worldly idea of getting and giving. Lord, I pray that you would just, you'd help us to see that you are the one in control, that we steward what you give us. And yeah, Father, I just want to pray that you would help us to be these people that are radically generous, that are able to let go of what you've given us and able to bless those around us in a radically generous way. And Father, you would increase our joy. Lord, thank you that, yeah, you want us to have this joy. You want us to be in a place where we have an increase in joy. And so, Father, I pray you just help us to step into this life of living life to the full as you intended. Amen.